Welcome to this episode of Above the Clouds. Today I would like to share a verse with you which is considered to be the essence of all the Lord's teachings. Srila Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur indicates that one will advance in Krishna consciousness by keeping this text in his heart. He says, "He who has this verse shining in his heart shines in the assembly of devotees." Here is the verse. This process of bhakti is the supreme intelligence of the intelligent and the cleverness of the most clever. For by following it, one can in this very life make use of the temporary and unreal to achieve me, the eternal reality. Bhakti is so unique. You can take something which is temporary, which comes from this world, and by using it in the service of the Lord, you will reap an eternal benefit. The Lord says that someone can be considered an intelligent and clever person if he offers his temporary, illusory material body and possessions to Krishna with love and without personal motivation. He says, the inhabitants of Bharat Bhumi, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, the inhabitants of Bharat Bhumi who are mortal and born in low families can offer me their bodies, which are actually not worth a penny, for they are often deformed and will eventually be afflicted with old age and disease. But through their offering, they can attain me, the ocean of sweetness. Accepting their offering, I, who am supposed to be the cleverest, give myself with joy to the devotees, along with my priceless ornaments, bracelets and crown. So aren't the inhabitant of Bharata Bhumi the most intelligent and skillful? So what this means is to engage these organs, ears, tongue, and the active senses, the hand, in the services of the Lord, like hearing, chanting, remembering, and doing service. These things may not be useful, but then when we are engaging them in Krishna service, we get the highest. What is the ratio here? The intelligent answer, the principle, how this is possible. It is entering the higher connection. There's a principle, however, if you want to make a connection with Krishna, you have to purify your heart by these spiritual processes. It says, in order to worship God, one has to become a divine being. Or as Prabhupada says, if you want to enter fire, you must be fire. If you are not fire, you will burn. Then Prabhupada says, the example is given. Krishna is a big fire and we are sparks of fire. These sparks of fire can remain within the fire and then they are beautiful. But as soon as they fall down, pat pat, and they are separated from the fire, they are becoming extinguished. No more fire, it's all black, charcoal, that's all. The moment we turn away from Krishna, our natural fiery qualities, like being blissful gets extracted from us and we suffer grief. We become dependent on external circumstances. We lose our knowledge and begin to identify with the temporary body. Patanjali says what happens once this ignorance is exchanged for jnana, for our original spiritual knowledge. He says, avidya, or ignorance, is the notion that takes the self that is joyful, pure, and eternal to be the non-self. What's the result? We are no longer joyful, we experience pain. We are no longer pure, we experience impurity. We are no longer eternal, we are experiencing birth and death. So, the process to evoke our original qualities is to somehow or other reverse our journey. That means wherever we are, at which stage we are, we should again connect with Krishna or enter the fire. In the old times, people practiced Buddha Shuddhi, or the process of becoming pure, by a very complex process. They would do various difficult pranayams and imagine how they would burn eventually through those through the breath the sinful material body or the external body, and then they would meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord and see that amrita, nectar, fell down on them and re-established their new body, you know, from the ashes the new self would arise. One visualization practice was saying, meditate on the silhouette of your body, the external circumference, and see it like an empty glass case thing, which you fill up with new air, fire, water, air that would come from Lord Narayan. But see, Vaishnavas purify their existence by purifying their consciousness. They say, not for myself I'm doing this, but I'm offering what I can think of with my intelligence to Narayan. I'm offering what I do with my body and with my life force to the Lord. And I'm offering myself. It's not for me, it's for you. Krishna, I am really your servant. This is the Vaishnava process, and it is something so absolutely practical. It can be done, as we have discussed many times, from every level in which you are. You don't need to be, in other words, supremely advanced. You just need to engage yourself as you are now. There's a very ancient work, it's the Hari Bhakti Latika. I want to say it to you correctly, yes, Hari Bhakti Latika. And it says, O Shri Krishna, if we engage our eyes in seeing your beautiful deity form, if we engage our ears in hearing your holy names and glories, if we engage our noses in smelling the flowers that have been offered to you, our bodies in embracing devotees, and our tongues in relishing food, that has been offered to you. Simple. Then you are always conquered by us, even though we are engaged in pleasing our senses. Let me be more clear. You can take even activities that are considered to be ordinary, like seeing, singing, smelling, relishing food. You can do all this for Krishna, and then a beautiful transformation comes. Krishna describes this. He says, in a dangerous situation, an ordinary person cries. He becomes fearful and he laments, although such useless emotions do not change the situation. But activities offered to me without personal motivation, even if they are externally useless, amount to the actual process of religion. So even the most insignificant activity, when it is offered to the Supreme Lord without personal desire, can elevate one to the perfection of spiritual life. Actually, Lord Krishna at that time protects and maintains his devotees. So, yes, this is the universal process of bhakti. Take yourself as you are now. Offer something to Krishna according to your capability. I remember there was one of my god sisters who wrote to Srila Prabhupada when she was still young and went to school, and that she offered every morning something to Krishna. And she described, my offering consisted of moss, something like grass, acorns, that's something which falls from the pine trees, and bark, which at that time she thought was very nice. So she offered this. And Prabhupada wrote back, my blessings are upon you for your nice prosecution of Krishna consciousness. Whatever you're doing at the present moment is approved by me. And I think on account of your becoming a sincere soul, Krishna is dictating from within and you are doing things very nicely. Now if we who have been trained would come back to such an offering, if we know better, this would not be so appropriate maybe. But wherever we are, offer what is dear to you, to Krishna, and you make advancement. What is most dear to us? Our time, our energy, maybe our friendships. Take what is dear to you and say, it's for you, Krishna. And you will see the Lord will say many, many times, thank you, thank you, thank you. And by this simple exchange, your heart becomes so purified and healed that the spark which had become charcoal, you know, wooden coal, will catch fire again, and then your life is sublime and perfected. I thank you very much for listening. This point is just so inspiring to me because it really tells me that we can offer everything to Krishna. Don't just think your sadhana can be offered to Krishna. That is, that sadhana has to be there to show Krishna that you are really not indifferent to him. But outside of the sadhana, and go through the world and see it with different eyes. See the world as an arctic plate which is offered to the Lord. I thank you very, very much. I wish you all the best, and also in your practical application. And see you very soon for the next Above the Clouds.